Blog Talk Radio.
The following is a production of AltCon Radio. The views and opinions on this show, no matter how poorly expressed by its host or guests, can in no way be construed to be those of AltCon Radio or just about anyone else. This show is not monitored or censored by the FCC, so there may be occasional language and lots of drinking. Any resemblance to a real radio show is purely incidental. You should not let your children or your parents or your children's parents listen to this show.
Hey, Johnny, how about a beer, huh?
Members of the House and the Senate.
Oh, God, man, I'm not talking about getting blind drunk.
Serving up politics on the rocks with a splash of snark. It's time to get hammered with your host, Steve Hamilton.
A show-off. You're vulgar. You're inappropriate. You're unrefined. You're obnoxious. I think you're an asshole. Let me correct that. An immature asshole.
And Stevie J. West.
The coolest person I've ever met.
You complete me.
I feel really warm when I am around you.
My safe word will be whiskey.
Louisiana draw, she take me to the river and we do the whiskey while it wild.
Top off your drinks and stand by, because you're about to get hammered.
Ring the bell, school's back in. Break it down. Time.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the most highly rated show on internet radio, Getting Hammered. It is Friday, March the 6th, 2015. I had to look at my computer real quick to see what date it was. I can't believe it's March 6th already. Any rate, so thanks a lot for joining us this evening, folks. Stevie is not here this evening. She has, I will just tell you guys, a couple of things going on. She has, a couple of the evils have been sick lately, apparently continuing to be. I don't think there's anything too serious going on there, but certainly has had her on the road. She's been traveling a little bit, and so she's not here this evening. And we've got an announcement to make next week. I'll go ahead and tell you up front that we're probably going to take a little bit of a break from Getting Hammered after next week. For a few weeks just to allow her to get some stuff straightened out, and then we'll come back again. But joining me this evening is none other than – oh, wait a minute. I have to stop for a second. I usually do – like when Stevie's coming on, I usually do a big intro. I don't have a big intro, and I'm feeling really bad about this. This is the only intro that I can probably play.
You're listening to The Red Wine Show with your host,
no,
Diane. Follow Di on Twitter at DMB1031 and catch her each week on The Red Wine Show on AltCon Radio.
Well, I got everything out of the way with that one. one of the hosts of The Red Wine Show, none other than Diane Di. To those that are near and dear to her heart, is joining us this evening. Good evening, Di. How are you?
Good evening. And that song is the best.
It is. It is. I think of you every time I hear it.
Yeah.
Strange.
Not that they play it too often on the radio anymore, but.
Say the least. Di, how's your week been?
Other than the illness fairy visiting, my husband had pneumonia, and you know, he's finally feeling better, and then I got sick, and I'm finally feeling better, and then
mm-hmm.
one of the cars broke down, and $950 later, my wallet's feeling a lot lighter. But that's what happens.
So it's been a good week.
Yeah, it's been wonderful.
You're very chipper for a husband that's like on his deathbed and a car on its deathbed. And
oh, and did I mention youngest had a concussion from basketball the previous week? But it's all great. We're doing fine.
Wow.
Par for the course.
This is Wow. We got 4 inches of snow yesterday, almost five. I'm feeling like my week's been great.
Four? What? And I bet they canceled school, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. Well, they canceled. Listen. Here's the deal. So I left work yesterday. My boss is sitting there, and he's like, because, you know, it's funny because, like, everybody that works for me, I'm like, hey, liberal leave policy at this point, guys. You want to go home, go home. I'm cool. I don't care. Take your computers. Work from your house. It's a modern world. We can do this. I have no meetings scheduled with any of you, so I really don't care where you work. Just go work someplace. And
right.
My boss is like, he walks in, and I said, hey, you know, listen, I'm probably going to leave a little bit early. He's like, I have not released the office yet. I'm like, yeah, I really don't care. Let me explain Richmond, Virginia to you. Because at that point in time, when I left my house yesterday morning, it was already sleeting, and it was raining in downtown Richmond. And so their perception, which is almost 30 miles from me, so their perception was, it's raining. Yes, we understand that even in Richmond, people go, you know, kind of freak out a little bit just because of the rain. But the fact of the matter is that we're not closing the offices early, and we expect everyone to be here. It's like, not so much. I left my house. It was already sleeting when I left in the morning to go in there. And that was the problem. Because around here, it had been raining to treat the roads. And we only have like two plows for the entire city. So
I think for the state.
maybe three. Who knows? And then there's a guy on a tractor, right? He plows the road out in front of my house. And so I'm like, no. And seriously, so I left like 1:30 or so in the afternoon to my boss, you know, much to his chagrin. It took me – so I got the message from him finally saying that he had decided to close the office. I was almost home, and that was well over an hour later to go 30 miles because they hadn't treated the roads. There weren't any plows out, and there was this, you know, quarter of ice on the interstate. So everybody was going like 25 miles an hour, and those that went 35 miles an hour were in the ditch doing nothing.
Yeah. Pretty common around
and
here.
I'm driving around in my big old truck feeling not charitable at all.
I'll tell you what, the ones I see mostly in the ditches are the trucks.
Yeah,
they're flying by you going, sucker, you're going slow, and then
okay.
You drive by them going, sucker, you're in the ditch.
Let me tell you what to drive on ice. And I will outdo any story anybody has ever told anybody ever in the history of ever. If I can say ever again,
I don't know
I will.
About that.
Yes, I will. Because I was on a flight deck.
Oh, yes.
In a,
you win.
In a 52,000-pound aircraft, fully loaded with fuel. We were in the North Atlantic where the ship was pitching back and forth, and we were in the middle of essentially an ice storm. And, of course, they were always like, yeah, launch the Hawkeye. You know, yay for us. And so go see just how bad it is, right? We always kind of felt like the guy going, hey, this really smells bad. Try it.
Yeah. Or, you know, there's a gas vapor cloud near that match. It's no
right,
worries.
Yeah. So the ship was pitching really badly. So I pull out of kind of the – we had an area called the six-pack back behind the island where typically we parked, you know, our planes. And as I pulled out of the six-pack and then turned right to head up the deck, right, and to get up to the catapult. And as I turned right, the ship kind of starts to pitch to port a little to the left for the uninformed. So it starts to pitch to the left there, right? So I'm pointing forward, ship's pitching left, and the plane just starts sliding because the deck was totally covered in ice. I don't care
what
part of the country, the world, or anything else you're from. You could be Helga from Switzerland, for all I care. You were sliding. And then all I realized, there was, you know, I'm sitting here looking, and the plane's sliding sideways. And I'm seeing, you know, flight deck going beside me in a direction it shouldn't have been going. And the problem was there were people all around the plane. And there was one thing I could do to really kind of save the plane at that point and the crew, and that would have been to cob on the left engine really hard, put the right engine into reverse and force a spin and then cob both engines on and almost kind of climb back up the flight deck, right? And but the problem was, it was like...
Yep.
I mean, there's people all around. Somebody, and literally, I remember at the time, I mean, it wasn't doing body counts, but I literally at the time was thinking, There's me and a $64 million aircraft and five people here, and there may be, I don't know where, somebody on the flight deck. If they can't get out of the way, too bad. Because five people weren't getting out of the plane. That's all there was. That if it went over the edge, it was going over the edge in the ocean, and we were all gone. And I, you know, that was all I could. So by the time I cobbed on the left engine really hard, just full max power on that, hit total reverse on the right engine, started to spin the plane around. About that time, a guy who we later gave this award to, like for being hero of the day, a young kid on the flight deck, and he raced up underneath the plane at that point where the right wheel was kind of pivoting. And he grabbed a chain, threw it onto the wheel, and threw it onto the flight deck real quick and winched that chain down to the point where it basically stopped the plane. I mean, and he was in, like, the most dangerous area in the world. Yeah.
Beat that, thank you.
Beat that story for sliding around on the ice.
I can't.
No, you can't do it. It's the
However,
best
I tell you
story
about the
ever.
Time on a cruise ship, and you know, had a little too much to drink, and it was pretty wavy out there, and the ship was tilted to the left, but I was tilted to the right, so it didn't matter.
everybody
was falling all over the place, and I'm like,
everybody has a cruise ship story, okay? I'm just saying.
Oh, I have too many cruise ship stories.
I hear there's videos of some. And I have occasionally heard people have released very secret information about the Hammy, and I get mad at them when I find out that they've released secret information about the Hammy having to do with cruise ship videos. But anyway, that's a topic for another night.
I can't wait.
No, you can. let's see. We got different stuff coming up here tonight. We're going to talk about the BB speech. I'm not going to talk about CPAC tonight. That's been talked out this week, folks. Everybody and their mother has covered CPAC, including mine, I think, and she wasn't there. We did talk about it on your show earlier this week.
Yes, we did.
Yes. By the way, just to throw this out there, I'm going to do this several times tonight. Folks, one of the best shows, second only to Getting Hammered, of course, on the internet, is The Red Wine on Wednesday nights. Di is one of the hosts. Jody, who's going to join us soon if her husband falls asleep.
yep.
That sounds so bad.
His mind already is asleep.
Don't make me laugh tonight. Lorelei, who also does Down and Dirty Sports here on All Con Radio, and these three ladies get together and they preach it. And it's a good show. And they're smart, they're sassy, they're sexy, and they really bring it. And so listen to that one on Wednesday night here. But at any rate,
thank you.
Yes, I just have to throw that out.
Yes, and I just need to say, if you listen to our show that we just did this past Wednesday, it does have a PG 18 plus rating for the last 30 minutes.
Yeah. But CPAC was discussed on that one a little bit, and
yes.
And the lovely bias girl, Mickey White, actually was called in. It was a great show. You guys did a wonderful job. And so Mickey called, she talked a little bit about, and yes, and Bona Fortuna, which sounds like a song, but isn't.
It does not. It sounds naughty.
Like a song. Called in. He's actually going to be calling in sometime this evening. Only I probably shouldn't say that, so it actually sounds like we get a phone call from a guest.
Yeah.
Oh, look, a phone call from the same person who calls in at other times to do us a favor.
He's a great guest.
But he's going to be calling in. So we're going to talk about the BB speech a little bit here. We're going to talk a little bit about Hillary Clinton lost her emails. Harrison Ford crashed the Millennium Falcon or something like that. And a few other things. Any rate, so we're going to get to all of that, but we're going to take a real quick break, and we will be right back. Maybe.
You're listening to the alternative source of news, talk, and music for today's unconventional conservatives. This is AltCon Radio.
All right, welcome back, folks. That was a segue. That's a segue break right there when it happens. Didn't actually happen.
I just want you to know, if you hear any purring, it's not me.
All right,
then. That stuff's on me.
Catfish just joined the show?
No, my kitty cat just jumped on me, and he's purring like a fiend.
I thought you were talking about Catfish there for a minute.
I love Catfish. She's so funny.
She is. And she's not me, by the way, for anyone that thinks she is.
Well,
I don't know where that started from.
Interact, that would make me frightened.
Yeah. I talk to myself a lot. It is really weird.
I don't know those pictures that come up of you, too.
Yeah, it even scares me. And I crack myself up. Boy. And then I go off and have oddball conversations with people that I don't even know, but my other personality apparently does.
My evil twin sister or brother.
Yeah, yes, whatever. Seems to get along with other people far better than I do.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so I think the biggest news item this week was obviously BB's speech. Biggest news item as far as I know. So it was on Tuesday, and has been built up for a long time. A lot of
Absolutely. People
tried to... It's very interesting that President and Democrats who were so opposed to him coming here and speaking before Congress kept talking about the fact that he was doing this for political clout because his own election is running back home. Yet I've got to tell you that the only people that made anything political out of it were the Democrats and the president.
Oh, absolutely.
And in the end, not only, and this is so interesting, not only was it folks like Nancy Pelosi and her idiotic statements and Democrats that decided they were going to boycott or whatever and not show up because they were 5 years old and they didn't get invited to the party in the sandbox.
Obviously
but it
didn't
was
learn etiquette lessons either.
Yeah. Mom must be so proud.
Yeah.
It was Democrats that I heard calling in. So I watched the show on C-SPAN. I was homesick that day because I had the CPAC crud, whatever that is. And I was sick, so I'm bundled up on the couch watching the speech, and I just have my phone in my hand. I'm like, type away. Because everything this guy said, to me, just made so much sense. But it was afterwards, I'm sitting there listening to the callers. And you know how C-SPAN does this, right? They do the call in on the Republican, the Democrat, or you can't call in the Democrat, so you call in on the independent line, right?
Right.
You know how that works, right? Because Nobody that ever calls in on the independent line is truly independent. They're not. They just couldn't get through on the Democrat line.
Probably not.
And... one lady called in, and she took the cake, and she summed the entire thing up for me from the Democrat stance. She said, in my ninth grade civics class, she called in the Democrat line, in my ninth grade civics class, I learned that the president is the highest office in the land. And I believe that it was completely politically motivated, and that John Boehner should have asked the president for permission before he had Benjamin Netanyahu speak. And she was serious.
Ugh.
Completely serious.
Unreal.
I was pretty shocked. I shouldn't say that. Probably wasn't shocked. It means that not only can she her, civics class, obviously taught her incorrectly. But I was amazed that she obviously didn't pick up a single solitary thing from that speech.
Except that no one asked permission from President Obama. Just, you know what I picked up from that speech?
What?
I picked up a man who was frightened for his country, for his people's lives. that would do anything and everything to protect his country and was asking the country that is supposed to be an ally or a close ally to please seriously take a look at who you are dealing with, because these very people want to annihilate us. And yet,
right,
he's ignored, and he said, you're grandstanding. This is for political purposes. I don't see it that way.
There were, so if you hear me cough like I just now did, it's not because Di is sending me interesting text messages.
It's Bona. No.
It's Bona. Everybody's sitting there going, why do they keep saying that? I got to tell you, the first part of the speech was all class. I mean, regardless of your stance, regardless of your political persuasions, that was a class act. He thanked Congress. He thanked the Senate. He thanked Harry Reid specifically. And then he would thank the president. And he gave a very detailed explanation of how the president has come to his aid on several occasions. He really went out of his way. He said the dome that they stood under for the Iron Dome that they used to protect themselves. He really outclassed the entire thing. That's the point where I went, if anybody can ever say anything negative about what this guy's about to say, I don't know where you're going to dig it up from.
But did you notice something when he was speaking, though? He said, I don't know if you're aware. And then when he went to go cite the instances where Obama came to his aid, it was not necessarily something anyone knew, because I have a gut feeling Obama did it all behind closed doors so as to not piss off the Muslim world.
Quite possibly. Quite possibly.
And that's what I suspect, because Mr. Narcissism normally would sit there and throw it out there, every wonderful thing he did. But you never notice he says anything he's ever done for Israel. That's what I've caught.
Right. Right. But I thought that first part of the speech was just, that was class act. No question.
Absolutely.
About it. The second part I'm going to talk about, I think history. He laid something out there, and this, by the way, this connects to a lot of people going through Sunday school, right? I saw a lot of people comment on this. I commented on it. I saw Jennifer Van Laar had commented on it. She actually called it Purim, which I couldn't remember the name when I was tweeting it. So I was like, something about Esther and a bunch of Jews, you know, getting saved.
my mother would have my head, but I really don't remember all the history of it.
Yeah. Well, it's one of my favorite stories in the Bible. There's certain people I've always, you know, certain people, like when I get to heaven, right, like assuming I get there, there's certain people I want to meet. There's a couple of them. Esther's one of them. This lady's so cool. So cool. That, you know, she risked it all. Everybody's like, oh, she was the queen. No, she could have, like, been killed. Ahasuerus, who was the king, he could have just killed her because she walked in there, right? And, man, she was bad. She was awesome. Risked everything to save her people. And so he referenced that because he was saying, you know, for 4,000 years, Israel's been at risk. They've been attacked. They've, you know, various groups out there have been after them. But he puts that in a good perspective, because a lot of people will remember Esther, maybe from Sunday school, maybe from a movie, right? But they can reference that very quickly. But it also, there was a subtle point there. I was talking to friends of mine the other day about this. You know, there's this constant thing that comes out of the Middle East. Israel, right? The Jewish people. Do they really belong there? Right? He made a case, without even having to make the case, this is an historic people with a long lineage, a long, detailed, documented history. And of that history is just replete with stories of them having to survive.
Right.
And whether it be going to Babylon, whether it be, you know, World War II, whether it be the diaspora, it is replete with those stories. So he made that clear. I love that story. I thought that was neat that he brought that in there. The second part, or the third part that I think he did a good job of, was creating a clear and present danger for us. Because while we may stand there and talk about how we support Israel, one of the things that many Americans have this problem with today, and I'm not going to slam on my libertarian friends here, although I generally do. but everybody's like, oh, it's their problem. It's their problem. It's over there. And he said, look, give me a break. If these guys can create nuclear weapons, if they can create range missiles, which they're pretty close to doing now, they're not stupid. And they can buy the technology.
Oh, yes.
You honestly think that the United States is not? You don't sit there and refer to us as the great Satan. and then target us. Israel's number one. We're number two. Great.
We got the guy that's going to stick his head in the sand and say, nothing can happen to us while I'm in office.
Mm-hmm. Thought he made a great case for the clear present danger. And that was an imperative. He had to do that. Because we're coming up on this. We're coming up on this. He kept referring to it as the bad deal, right? How is the world approaching Iran? And I think a lot of people are kind of tired in a way, right? We sort of look at this and we go, boy, what are we fighting now? It was the Taliban. It was Saddam Hussein. It was this group. It was Al-Qaeda. It's Boko Haram. Now it's ISIS. Now it's ISIL. Now it's we don't know who they are anymore. Now we're trying to decide between separate groups in Syria and who do we like and who do we don't like and who do we support and who do we don't support, and people are weary. And so there's a tendency on the part of people to look at a pseudo-stable situation like Iran and think, well, my enemy is my friend, right? And he really pointed out, no, they're not.
No, they're not.
Yeah, they got no love lost for ISIS. They'll take all of us out.
Well, there's a long list of people that would like to take us out.
Yeah, not high school.
Word.
Word.
I don't think I got through life without pissing a bunch of people off, do you?
Right. Can't imagine that.
What?
So this idea that somehow or another if we play nice with a somewhat stable country in that region who has been able to thus far keep ISIS at bay. Oh, by the way, the only other pseudo-stable country in that region that's been able to keep ISIS at bay to date, this because ISIS has put their hooks into or tried to put. We're undermining the government. That's in Syria. Because if you think they're not going to turn their eyes to Jordan eventually, they're going to turn their eyes to Lebanon eventually. They will. They're just not there yet. But
and
as soon
as
they start attacking Syria
as well.
Yeah, so as soon as they start attacking Syria, we undermine the only government that's there that could actually stand in their way. Because we're
idiots. And you know what? Irregardless of the relationship with the U.S., they would stand in the way of ISIS and if
absolutely
anybody else. They would
absolutely
do it.
Of course they would. That would be the situation where you'd go, the enemy of my enemy is my friend. Absolutely you would there. And then you'd sort the rest of it out later.
And then you ask yourself, you ask yourself, you have Saudi Arabia, you have Egypt, normally who are just barely tolerant of Israel, agreeing with Israel because they also recognize the very serious threat that is going on. They're seeing it, and they're knowing that the once and powerful U.S., and unfortunately we're not anymore, is dealing with the enemy.
Yep.
So the
yes,
person
feeling the, yes.
Yes. And they whoever thought Saudi Arabia and Egypt would ever agree. I can't remember the third country. I know there's the third one, but with Israel. When you have and Jordan, it was Jordan actually speaking out. When they speak in support of Israel and we still have, you know, our president and his administration who instead of acknowledging there's a threat because I don't care what anybody says and they need to get their heads out of their asses because there's a huge threat, would rather sit there and tweet out or make snarky comments about a president and leader of another country is first of all, it's an embarrassment. To me as an American, they embarrass me. And for anybody that supports them and still supports them, that doesn't see what an embarrassment it is. I'm sorry, they got some big issues.
Big issues, or maybe little issues. It's, maybe that's the problem.
Yeah, but there's no respect in this current administration. But you need to expect that because his confidant, who even knows who the what this woman is to him, Valerie Jarrett, is probably the direct link between Iran and him anyhow.
Oh, yeah, probably
so. He was probably put deliberately in there to do it.
Who's the most powerful woman in the United States that hasn't ever received a single solitary vote?
Exactly.
How messed up is this? We talked about the Dem boycotts. The last thing, and I just want to say this real quick, because I think he did a good job of really presenting the clear and present danger to the United States and not just Israel. But he made the final point, and is, you know, this is the thing to remember about Israel, folks. He made the final point. If we have to go it alone, we will. Now that
I seem to remember hearing that out of our own country.
I want people to understand the ramifications of what he's saying there. Okay? You want a nuclear war in the Middle East? If you want a nuclear war in the Middle East, do not back Israel. Now hear what I'm saying. Because they will not allow themselves to be destroyed. And
that's
if
right.
We don't back them, they're going to get backed into a corner. And they will defend themselves. And if it ultimately means that they use the nuclear weapons they have, they will. It's not a bluff, guys. This is not mutually assured destruction. They will take out Iran.
I totally believe they would. And if it came to the point where it was justified, you have to support them.
Absolutely.
It's not something they choose to do. It is not something they choose to do. Ask yourself this. Could you or I live in Israel with bombs constantly coming in, never knowing when you get on a bus if you're going to get off the bus? I know
yeah.
I couldn't do it.
Yeah. I had Mae Golan on here. She's been on twice. Love her. She lives in southern Israel, and she's been on twice on the show now. And she's on, and the last time I had her on was during the – I had her on, first of all, when the airstrikes or the missiles were first started flying from
Gaza,
thank you. And then the second time after the ground war had started. And you could hear – the emotion in her voice. I mean, it wasn't just I'm scared or something like that, because she's really outspoken and man. It was a passion for living in a situation where you know everyone that surrounds you wants to kill you and really not understanding why the rest of the world doesn't just look at that and go, oh, well, we need to stop that and do everything in our power to stop that. This is how they live on a constant basis. This is the threat they live under. And it's not only from the governments, it's from factions of governments. It's from groups within governments and groups outside of governments, but that are operating out of other countries. This is how they live. And we as Americans in our, you know, nice comfy couches, watching our television screens where we just turn off the TV and go to sleep. Now, we don't get it. We don't know what it's like to live in that. Israel will defend themselves. Bibi said, we will. If we have to go alone, we will. And I guarantee you it's going to be glass Iran. Lake Iran. Turn to glass.
Yeah. You know, we're insulated. 9/11 was our Pearl Harbor. And when you, if you want to compare the two, which there is no comparison to the two, but it is something that, you know, that for me, that was the first attack I ever really realized on American soil. I remember, you know, the first attack in 1993, which was, you know,
sure.
And you remember the ones like in Beirut, the barracks.
Mm-hmm.
Does he
mm-hmm.
not remember that? Does he not
sure.
remember that the Iranians were behind that?
Mm-hmm.
And the fact is I would ask how any military person could support what this president is trying to do. They
right.
lost brothers. And so
yep.
many different attacks that Iran was behind, we've lost servicemen. And I don't understand how anybody could support this.
Yep.
They can't. You know, mm. I mean, there's that guy on Twitter. What's his name? Colonel Morris or whatever. He's just an absolute D-bag. You know, I dealt with him once, and I was just like, you know what? You're nothing but a piece of shit, and I don't care how much you serve because, you know what? You don't care about this country. And don't try to pretend you do, because you don't.
Yeah,
because
I never want to argue with you on Twitter. If you ever, don't want to be my friend anymore, just tell me ahead of time, okay? Because I don't want to, like, get into it with you. Yeah.
It's probably not a good thing.
Yeah.
But, you know, I will give people chances. But like I said, when it comes to this country and all the fine people that sit there and defend this country, they realize they're not just doing it for this country. They're doing it for the good of people and civilization. That's what they're doing it for.
Yep.
They realize that their actions are helping others, protecting others, protecting the nations that might not be able to protect themselves. That's what
yep.
the U.S. has always stood strongly for. You know, and somewhere along the line, people thought Clinton decimated the armed forces. Clinton did
mm-hmm.
nothing compared to what this man has done. Nothing.
Well,
the morale has got to be low.
Oh, yeah. And that's what I was going to say. I mean, Clinton lowered the armed forces, no question about it. Clinton destroyed a lot of our capabilities when it came to intelligence that led up to 9/11 in the first place. But this president has not only destroyed... I think he's not only destroyed the capabilities of the military, he has gone out. I'll take an oath on this one. He has destroyed the moral underpinnings of the military. It's going to take a long time to build that back. I'll tell you what, when you get rid of a bunch of admirals and a bunch of generals, what you're going to do when you become the president, when you become the commander in chief, you're going to pick who you want that's going to carry out your ideals. And when I see the heads of these service branches out there that will gladly go along with and carry out the ideals and premises and ideologies of this president, I have to go, where in the world did these people come from? They weren't in the military when I was there, but apparently they were. I don't know.
Is that they were supposedly asked if you would sit there and shoot your fellow Americans if needed. Placed all the guys that were probably like, are you kidding me? With the yes men. Well, you know what? You've got your yes men, but underneath all those yes men are the ones that still have the moral compass to not turn their mm-hmm. guns on other American citizens. Not to sit there and listen to the outrageous commands. They're not going to follow mindlessly like he seems to think they will.
Right.
Because he's, as you said, he's decimating the armed services. He's putting in the generals that are the yes men. But it's going to change, and it will change. You know, people are literally counting the days down until the sky is gone, unless he does his imperialistic trick and all of a sudden they're going to sit there and do an executive order to get rid of term limits. I'm waiting for that next. I've decided
Man.
I'm going to be president for 4 more years.
What? You sound like Clinton.
Well, speaking of Clinton.
All right, hey, folks, we're going to
like
take a break.
How do you like the White House counsel throwing her under the bus?
Oh, yeah. Oh, I mean, look, they never liked her in the first place. And the whole business of throwing a bus at her and making her Secretary of State was just that. And, you know, there's no help going to come from the White House for her. They hate her. They always have, you know. I get it, but hey, we're quick break. We come back. Bona's going to join us. Rick, I see you're in the queue here. We'll take you as well back, and we're going to lighten it up a little bit. We are going to talk. I do want to address the anti-Semitism that's going on in the world, and the increased anti-Semitism, but we're also going to lighten it up a little bit. We'll be back in just a minute, folks.
This is Ted Kennedy, and when I'm not getting hammered at breakfast, I'm getting hammered with Stephen and Sloopy or whatever the hell these people's names are. Pass the vodka. Grab a beer, maybe some bourbon, even a pina colada, because if you're not getting hammered, you're just not having fun. Check out GettingHammeredRadio.com and stay connected.
Welcome back, folks. It is, again, Friday night. March 6, 2015. I'm joined once again by the lovely Di of The Red Wine Show here on Oakland Radio. Good evening, Di. How are you?
Oh, very wonderful. Thank you.
Oh, you're wonderful. Oh, I think you're singing. That's wonderful.
I should sing, but I can't.
Oh, go ahead.
What a wonderful life it would be.
We also have a we got a couple of calls in queue here. Our good friend Bona Fortuna as well, and I see Rick is in there. We're gonna bring him in here in just a minute as well. But Bona, how are you this evening?
Yeah,
really good. Hey, you're live.
Bona.
Excellent.
Yeah, when that little voice in the back of your microphone or headset there says you're unmuted, you're unmuted.
Excellent.
Yeah. How you doing?
I'm good. I'm good. How's everybody doing up?
Huh? Pretty good.
Yeah. So what are we talking about now?
Well, we just got done talking about Bibi, Mr. Netanyahu, and his speech. And I wanted to segue a little bit of that, a little serious still, but, you know, kind of put this out there more from a question standpoint. There's been, I think, you know, some people feel like it's, but I think it's growing, increase in anti-Semitism around the world. There was an article that was out on the Daily Mail. By the way, if you guys don't read this, dailymail.co.uk, go to the U.S. home version of it. And they'll always have a lot of stories out there. But this one came out this morning, and exclusive Fight the Jewish Scum, Shocking Anti-Semitism on Streets of Britain as Jewish Journalist is Spat at, Abused, and Even Stalked. And the same happened in Copenhagen. So what this guy did was he put on the little yarmulke, right? And he just walked around in downtown, like, and it didn't say a word to anybody. He had somebody else, the guy was in front of him, who had a camera, a hidden camera, so you could kind of see what was going on. And as he's just walking along, he's not saying anything, he's just walking down the sidewalk. And he's getting spat at, he's getting cursed, just for walking along as a Jewish person. This is not a religious thing, there's nothing, he just happened to be a Jewish person walking along, looked like normal, like everybody else in a suit, except he had a yarmulke on. And he went to Copenhagen. Similar things happened there. Interestingly enough, the one place where almost nothing happened, in fact, is some girl walked by and gave him a hug, was Berlin.
Wow.
Wow.
And
Isn't that a change of a dramatic proportion?
Yeah. Well, and so when you go back and you look at these videos, first of all, when he's walking through England, he's walking through Manchester. And as much as Fox News took a beating for talking about these no-go zones and whatever else over there in England, it's very well known that there are areas of England.
Conclaves.
Yes, conclaves that have essentially just been ceded to Islamists. To Muslim communities, and that's parts of Manchester was where he was walking through. So these weren't. I don't think the majority of them were, anyways. Didn't seem to be, you know, just standard British people. They looked to me, and this doesn't sound terrible. I'm sorry if this is racist. I don't really care at this point. They appeared to be mostly of Arab descent. We can't say they're Muslims because I couldn't see what their religion was, but many of them of Arab descent. Who were making these statements to this person. And unfortunately for England, they've allowed this to happen. Now, Germany, you know, Germany is so worried about ever being accused of being anti-Semitic again, they have every law in the world against it, right? I mean, it doesn't matter what – I mean, they bend over backwards to prove they're not anti-Semitic. England, on the other hand, has to bend over backwards to prove how PC they are. And they've invited these people in And I'm sorry, if the numbers are right, this is a scary thing. If the numbers are right that anywhere between 15 and 30%, pick a number, 20, 22, I don't care what it is, of Muslims are radicalized, then take the thousands of Muslims that are living in these enclaves in places like Chester that are virtually no-go zones and tell me that those aren't training grounds for radical
Islam. It has
Islam.
To be.
Well, isn't that dude that fights with Hannity in London freely speaking the way he speaks? Who's that, imam that he fights with all the time?
Yeah, no, I know who you're talking about. I can't remember his name.
He's in London.
The one with the beard?
The one with the pretty lips I see all the time.
Oh, yeah. Yes, the makeup.
I put something out there a while back, and this is where I get irritated at people that question the Holocaust, right? It was a few weeks ago. Remember that? You know, we had the memorial or the remembrance of the Holocaust. And this speaks to something different. I'm not going to get into Holocaust denying here, but one of the questions I often ask people who deny the Holocaust or say it's not, you know, wasn't 6 million people and there wasn't a concerted effort to kill all the Jews. And I always ask, because they'll sit there and say they're anti-Semitic. They're not anti-Jew. They're anti-Zion, whatever the devil means. Go, why don't you question the 20 million killed under Stalin? Why don't you question the 6 million killed by the Japanese, 6 million Chinese killed by the Japanese? Why don't you question the 1.5 million Armenians killed? Why don't you question the million killed by Saddam Hussein, the Kurds? They never question those numbers. They only ever question that one. But the point that I'm getting to here is, why is it the Jews? Because to me, if that's the only thing you're questioning, then you are anti-Semitic. If you're not questioning all those others, then you're anti-Semitic because that's what you're concentrating on. And I wonder, why is it through history it's the Jews? Why is it coming back again? You guys take this and run with it.
Well, I mentioned earlier, it's interestingly enough that when you hear someone like Madonna, who normally I ignore her, but she just did an interview 2 days ago. And in it, she said that anti-Semitism is at an all-time high in Europe. And she said, we're living in crazy times. It feels like Nazi Germany. I mean, the hardest country that she came down on was France, and she's saying that any type of artistic expression freedom is gone. And, you know, she said, the level of intolerance is so enormous, it is scary. Now, this is a celebrity who, you know, I'm sure she doesn't walk the streets such as this poor guy, you know, did, you know, testing the waters, whatever. But she's experiencing it as well, and she sees it. They need more people to speak out because everybody sees it. It's all the ones that didn't say anything is why all of these massacres have happened, because they turn their heads, they look the other way. And you can't do it anymore. And, I mean, I can attest, when I was in Amsterdam, they have changed the clock back. They let all of the Muslims and Islamic, you know, mosque and all that stuff in, to the point where they were starting to have huge issues. Their government changed, and the government said, you don't assimilate, you now leave. And that's what they've been doing slowly but surely, and that's why they're going to England and they're going to the countries that will not force them to assimilate into society anymore. This is what's happening. England is so politically correct now that guess what? They're punishing anybody else for saying anything unless you are a Muslim. Then you have special freedoms to say whatever you want and do whatever you want. And that's what the problem is. They've created a new class.
I don't know if this is, I don't know, I'm just going to say it, but, I mean, when you have the leader of the free world engaging in behavior, even though he speaks well about not being anti-Semitic, not being a friend of Israel. His actions, the way he composes himself, the atmosphere he's creating in his administration, and the world sees how he's acting towards Israel. Don't you think that sends a shockwave around the globe of how he thinks about Israel and the world reacts to his actions and his behavior?
Absolutely. They figure they now have an in.
Yeah, no doubt.
Absolutely. And he's actually, he's, it's not like a rubber stamp, but he's allowing by his actions for them to make it okay.
By his silence, he's condoning it.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. To me, it's utterly visible, his disdain for Israel.
Absolutely, sure. No question.
I don't know if it's his background, how he was raised, what he still feels inside, but there's something about the man that oozes to me a hate for Israel.
Yeah.
I'm
and this
not
is the part I don't
him.
Understand. All right. Yeah. But, he spent many years in Indonesia. Well, my in-laws grew up in Java until the Japanese, you know, invaded the island. They were prisoner of war. And they left when the Indonesians gained their independence. But people weren't persecuted. So I'm trying to sit there and figure out where between the time they left and when Obama was a child there, did this disdain for Israel, knowing what the Indonesian people had gone through, would be in his head? Because those were a lot, that his being raised there and his going to school there accounts for how he is today. Which, of course, is questionable, as my husband said, because the schools he attended, you couldn't attend as a foreign student.
Yeah.
That much my problem, I did say.
Well, and I think it's always the big elephant in the room. I mean, we talk about it and joke about it and everything, and they call people conspiracy theorists and truthers and birthers, but we don't know. This man spent half of his life, pretty much, in foreign countries, learning their culture, their religious proclivities.
Yep.
So how could he even be, we spoke about it the other night, how could he even feel a sense of being American while living in a foreign nation for half of his life?
Well, how could he, going and visiting Jeremiah Wright, the reverend that he went to for 20 years, who also preached about hating America and the American way?
And
that's
all
he's been filled with.
Yeah.
You guys, things, and I've said this before, I'll say it again, I've said it on other shows, including my own. You should go Occam's
this
razor.
This is your own.
Yeah. Oh, cool. Occam's razor here. And I don't have to figure out if the president is some kind of a secret Islamist. I don't have to figure out if he is got some deep, dark, devious plan, you know, for turning over the United States to a one-world government. I don't have to go there because I understand one thing for sure about him. He is a man who does not believe, appreciate, desire, or in any way believe in American exceptionalism or the foundations of this country. And so, in his mind, anything that reflects that will never help him achieve the goals that he has of moving America away from that direction. See, it doesn't have to be Islam. It just has to be not what we are. What we were founded on. Islam is a scapegoat for him. It's a convenience for him. him. Anything that is not the foundations of this country, and this doesn't make him anti-American, by the way, folks. He's American in his own mind. But he America framed in the way that he and the rest of the Frankfurt School would like it to be. That is what it comes down to. It could be anything else in the world, and it wouldn't matter, right? It happens to be Islam.
Yeah, it's apparent to me. I mean, the man has no understanding of what it is to truly be American.
Right.
And that's because I'm not going to say it's because he spent all those years in other countries, because how many Army brats, Navy brats, do we have that have spent years on different bases all over the world? They, you know, are very patriotic. The expats that live overseas are very patriotic. Yet, he's not. You know,
Michelle said
for the first time, I'm proud of my country. You know what my comment to that was? Get the fuck out. Go. Bye-bye.
Absolutely.
I love your honesty. It's just no two ways around it. Hey, folks, with that, we're going to take a short break. When we come back, hopefully we can completely lighten up everything, and we'll talk about plane wrecks. Speaking of, I know, it's terrible, right? How about, Star Wars-style plane wrecks or something?
Because you know I'm all about that bass, no rebels. I'm all about that bass, no rebels. I'm all about that bass, no rebels. I'm all about that bass,
bass, bass, bass, bass.
Yeah, it's pretty clear, this ain't no small moon, but it can shatter, shatter, and bring the planet down. It's got that boom, boom, that blow up all places like
Alderaan chants, where Alderaan space was.
I helped the Emperor after Darth Maul got stopped. We know that Sith ain't real, cause even I got shocked. I got a rebuilt body, just raise it up,
cause every inch of me is robot from the bottom to the top. Yeah, the Emperor told me don't worry about the size, cause it's not like it'd be blown up twice by the same Jedi. And no, I won't be no Sith fighting
rebels. I'm all about that bass, no rebels. I'm all about that bass, no rebels. I'm all about that bass.
I'm bringing balance back.
Steve Hamilton, YouTube pilot on Twitter. You're listening to Getting Hammered. We're joined this evening by the co-host of The Red Wine, Di.
Yeah.
More to your name than that, Di. I'm Diane.
Diane.
We're also joining.
My brother used to call me Diane Pineapple. I'm not quite sure why. After 40 something years, he's never told me. But anyhow,
Diane Pineapple. We're also joined by Bona Fortuna. Bona Fortuna.
That to my husband, I'm like, yeah, his name is Bona Fortuna, and my husband's like, all righty then.
Just read my bio. It's short, sweet. It's a double entendre. You should be able to get it.
That's what she said. Because that's the normal realm of conversation that we have. If you can get through a day without seeing TWSS like 5 times, 10 times, it's been a boring day.
You can't even talk about snow totals.
Right. No, of course not. Let's see here. Other interesting side stories this week. So I played that little thing. So I guess everybody saw Harrison plowed his plane into a golf course yesterday.
Yeah, there's
I'm
actually
so sad someone was golfing at the time.
Yeah, I know. Wrong golf course and wrong time. It's interesting. He wasn't that far from the runway. But I will tell you, and here we go, folks. Clem, I have actually flown one of those. That was a PT-22. Is a World War II trainer. I'm not that old. Let's just clarify a point here. However, there was an eccentric millionaire that had one of those planes. He kept it at the airport that I worked at during college, and he was pretty cool about taking us up. He let us fly the plane. I was like, neat, cool, fun. It is an interesting plane to fly. It can fall out of the sky at the drop of a hat. And when he lost his engine, it's not the best gliding thing in the world. So he lost his engine, and it decided to do a bunk, and he just couldn't make it to the runway. He had to spin back, and he landed a fairway, sort of. And
gives a whole different meaning to the word four.
Yeah. Good. He bent it up pretty good, and he bumped his noggin. But I guess the first stuff that came out about it, when we first saw it yesterday, it was like, you know, there was a couple of pictures of the plane sitting on the fairway, and then, you know, Harrison Ford in critical condition, right?
Yes.
I don't know if you guys saw that. And then it went to, you know, maybe stable or something, or, you know, not quite near death anymore. And then, he kind of walked out of the plane himself, and he walked onto the stretcher. And then it was like, yeah, he's pretty much fine.
Yeah. And I was sitting there thinking, is this going to affect the Star Wars movie?
Yeah. That was everybody. After, you know, because everybody's first thing was, oh, no, Star Wars. Right? And they felt kind of bad about it. They felt kind of bad about that. They were like, I can't believe I just said that. I feel terrible.
Well, see, I'm thinking the whole time Indiana Jones, and he's on like a mission, you know. And he's got the little Chinese kid behind him saying, Indy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love
Indy.
So I guess,
guess
maybe there were some snakes on the plane.
Everyone is. You'll call him Dr. Jones.
Yeah.
lady. So. I've never seen the movie. I have no idea what I'm even talking about.
Well, there was two plane incidents yesterday, correct?
Yeah. So
oh, the one split off the runway.
Well, no, the other one was the day before, right? Was it yesterday?
Yeah. No, it was yesterday. Yeah,
yesterday
was the
day before.
I'm just trying to figure out in my mind what days I actually went to work.
Why are they flying planes with ice all over the runways? Who's idea?
Well, I'll be honest with you. In general, unless you're on a carrier, you missed that story earlier. You should go back and listen.
No, I heard it.
Unless you're on a carrier, generally speaking, ice on a runway is not that huge of a deal. I say that cautiously. You do have, like, these jets when they land MD-80s. That happened to be an MD-80. They have reverse thrust. They don't really have to apply their brakes as much. It's not like when they land, the only brakes they've got are, you know, the little things on the wheels. So they can slow themselves down quite a bit, you know, before they really need to do that. I don't know what happened with him. Maybe he touched a break. Maybe he was touching. This is what I think happened. He was getting on the brakes a little soon, and he hit a dry spot.
Oh.
Now we'll see what comes out of this. But me and my buddies, you know, I don't know if you've ever seen this out there. You guys feel free to jump in this, of course, because we follow you with bated breath. But me and some of my other aviation buddies sit there and discuss all these accidents, and then we always go afterwards like we were right and we're batting 1,000. My gut is probably that he got on the brakes a little hard and hit a dry spot.
I thought he sneezed.
Or sneezed, because that happens. Yes, planes regularly crash for that reason.
So there's no chance he had like a cute little like co-ed in the cockpit, like Concordia cruise liner?
You know, Occam's razor. There's a real good chance that happened. Yeah.
Exactly. See, I knew. I knew it would be something like that.
Here, honey, press here.
And he hit a dry spot.
Yeah, and he hit a dry spot. Oh, heaven help us.
Oh, my God.
This is the point where I go, hey, Di, is your mom listening tonight? I always have to worry about when Jody's on the shows. I always have to be careful what we say because I'm like, no, I know Jody's mom's listening. I know Jody's mom's listening. I know Jody's mom's listening. Yeah. This is terrible too because it's not like we're like 17 or 18 and we're gonna get grounded.
Now can't we just mute them like on Twitter or no? Or block them?
You're gonna block your mom?
Wow.
Just a thought. She'd be whipping your ass.
Yeah. No.
See, I don't have to do that.
No.
Listen, I was afraid to tell my father at 40 years old I got a tattoo. I mean,
oh man,
9 months, and he looked down and he goes, "When did you get that?"
He is aware you have children. Right? I mean,
see, you did it wrong. You got it visible. You should get it.
Call.
Now, let me. Here's the bigger question: have you convinced your father that you adopted all the kids that look like you?
Yeah. My dad said to me, let the punishment fit the crime. And I said to him, I was not that bad, Dad. And he's like, oh, yes, you are.
Diane, I can't imagine you being a good kid.
The baby of the family. My brother's the one that always got caught. My father would be like, why couldn't you be in at a decent hour like your brother? And my brother would be like, but I just saw her at a party 15 minutes ago. What are you talking about, Dad? And I'd be like,
I remember somewhere a story about getting kicked off of college or something.
What? Oh, yeah. Framingham State, to be specific. I was visiting my friend.
Sure.
Yeah, sorry. These things happen. That's why you don't drink Smirnoff Blue Label and Kool-Aid.
All right, so before we talk about plane crashes...
And, yeah.
It was the dry spot.
Though, did you guys see the memes that came out today? This one's everybody finally relaxed, got a little bump on his head, and he's fine, and they're all complete Star Wars. And all the memes started coming out. And I don't know if you guys saw all these, but they were great. There was a Millennium Falcon being plowed into a course. One of the best, some really kind of intriguing. There were kids coming into, right? I mean, it's one thing. There were several out there with like on a stretcher, right? I mean, if you guys saw the original picture, holder, someone had gone in and replaced the stretcher with that carbon freezing thing that he went. Remember that in from the Star Wars movies, he was like frozen in paint.
Yes, yeah.
The black block, right, with him going.
You're breaking
real
up.
Choppy. Real choppy.
Huh. What's going on? All right, we'll be back in just a minute. back, folks. Trying to fix my internet problems here, so I apologize. We've only got about 10 minutes or so. So, can you guys hear me now?
A little.
You can maybe hear me okay now.
Yeah, that's good. That sounded good. Don't move.
Okay, I won't move.
Yeah, hold your one leg up and your arm out.
Yeah, it's I think it's just the internet here. You know,
whatever you're doing right now, it's perfect.
Okay.
And I don't
well,
know
I'll keep,
either.
I keep talking. Yeah. Hey, I want to know what I'm doing right now. I don't know if that helps any. All right, so what were we talking about? Oh, we were talking about Harrison Ford. I thought that one of the best pictures that I saw, one of the best memes that I saw, was actually – so someone had taken the thing of him in carbonite, right, from one of the movies where he got frozen in carbonite, right?
Yes.
And they had laid that down instead of the stretcher. So the two guys were carrying him in carbonite.
Oh,
and then,
right.
So that was a good one. And the other one, though, that I thought was very interesting. So did anybody else see the thing this week with – what was it, some weasel flying around on the back of a – I don't know what that thing was. Some kind of big giant woodpecker or something.
Oh.
No.
I didn't know. I thought it was a sparrow.
No. So there's this picture out there, right? There's this picture out there with this there's this big giant woodpecker thing flying along. And on its back is this, like, weasel.
Oh.
And the idea behind it is that the weasel's taking a ride, right? The weasel's not taking a ride. The weasel tried to attack the woodpecker, and the woodpecker took off flying with the weasel on its back. And some wildlife photographer happened to catch this.
That's amazing.
And I'm assuming,
oh,
yeah.
It's not a cartoon. It's an actual
No. This is real. This is real,
oh,
and it's been
memed. Oh, my God, I thought you meant it was a cartoon, an animation.
You think it was Woody Woodpecker?
No, this has been memed all over the place, but the picture was taken like 2 days ago. He just happened to be
how
able to catch this thing.
How did I miss this?
I don't know, but I'm assuming that the weasel fell off probably immediately thereafter, but it looks pretty cool because the bird's flying through there and the weasel on his back. Everybody's cute, the weasel's flying. No, the weasel's not flying. The weasel was trying to track him, and the bird flew off and the weasel held on for a minute. Anyway, so one of the other memes that was created about Harrison Ford's accident, what they've done is they've got the plane that he's flying in, and then somebody has taken that weasel and cropped it onto the top of his plane. It looks like he's trying to eat him. So, long story longer. But no, thank goodness. So we have, yeah, we had several accidents this week. No one died in any of them that I know of.
Well, it's a plus.
Yeah, it's always a plus. Let's crash some planes and no one die. Woohoo!
Makes
you know, if I could take a moment, I want to recognize there were two officers killed in the line of duty this week, one in Philadelphia and one in Georgia, I think Fulton County.
Yeah.
I know it's been blasted out on Twitter.
Right.
You know, it's such a important thing to keep awareness on the fact that so many more law enforcement officers, it's something, you know, obviously you guys understand it's something completely, you know, that I always think about, you know, being former law enforcement. So if, you know, you see it, just retweet it, you know. Do us
you
that
know,
favor. Keep...
It's awful. They still have targets on their back, irregardless. They still have the lack of respect. And I don't know if anyone listened to who's the dude that does the 4 o'clock show on Fox? Neil, I don't remember his name.
Neil
Anyhow,
Peruda.
He had the Reverend dude that was on there. Because Obama, as usual, stuck his head up his ass and was making comments in regards to the Justice Department, you know, not filing the charges against the officer in Ferguson, but still saying that Ferguson has issues. And he said it's not isolated. And this reverend said, why aren't they telling these kids to stay out of the police officer's way? Act on the good road? Why do you have to go down that bad path? Why aren't they teaching this to the kids? You know, he said that he reached out to be part of that committee against racism, and they ignored him because, of course, he's a black conservative. You know, he reached out to Reverend Al, and of course, Neil Cavuto, so I would like to sit there and see you and Reverend Al talk together. I would like to see that myself.
That guy is such a piece of shit. He's not even worth the breath anyone uses to speak his name, that guy.
But he did bring up a good point, which would be good for another show, is in which we touched upon, you know, when we were discussing feminism on the Red Wine, but the constanthood or victimism. I don't even know if that's a word, victimism. The constant victimism.
Victimization, I guess.
Yeah. Well, I think victimism should be a new word. I've decided.
There you go. You coined it.
To describe what they're doing. But, you know, it's like, you don't want to get in trouble with the police, then don't. No one's making you. No one's making you go rob that bank. No one is making you decide you want to steal someone's sneakers. No one's making you do that.
It's such a deeper issue than people even realize. I mean, now I'm just generally speaking from my frame of reference, 10 years I spent dealing with probably the worst youth in the state where I'm from. It's a cultural phenomenon that is occurring in these inner cities. There is such a disdain for law enforcement, it's overwhelming. And I saw it every day, every hour, every waking moment of the day. There's a disdain for law enforcement. I don't know if it's driven from the politicians in those neighborhoods. I don't know what it is, but there is a level of disdain unlike anything we've ever seen against law enforcement.
Well, I don't know why. Is it because
I'll tell you something. There is trend in the United States away from the way people were raised 40, 50, 60 years ago, where you said there's a healthy respect for police and firemen and the military and all those kinds of things, partially laid in by a healthy respect for the government you didn't think was 100% after you. But we continue to erode a society that was built on mutual trust, mutual understandings, mutual goals. If you think back to the foundations of our country, if you think to like what John Adams said, this Constitution was made for a moral and religious people and is, you know, completely unsuitable for any others. The whole point of that wasn't to say you had to be Christian or you had to be Catholic or something along those lines. It meant that there is an understanding that when you have all these rights and everything else that are built in, and when you have far less government that's overseeing everything, it's because you have people that don't need that. And I think as we've moved as a country further and further away from that, we've become a country which has now employed far more policemen than we ever needed before, has a far more overreaching government than we ever had before. And we also have developed an entire meist society.
Absolutely.
So people distrust this government. They distrust the police. We have more police, and there's a lot more going on. It's kind of a vicious cycle. And this
really
whole
is.
Thing now,
and
it's really played out even by the fact of people going, you know, thinking that, you know, and again, I'm not trying to beat up libertarians and such because it certainly is not just them, but the whole anti-police thing now.
Despicable. It really is despicable.
I mean,
so
they leave their families every day not knowing if they're coming back. Sam is a soldier.
I know that personally. I know that personally. For 10 years, every day I went into work, I knew without a shadow of a doubt that it could be my last day. And I have a lot of family in law enforcement,
right,
and in the military. I lived it for 10 years. It is not a joke.
No.
I put that vest on every day to guard against getting stabbed, getting shot, okay?
Mm.
And that's the life I lived.
Yep.
No cop goes out there thinking that they just want to go out there and harass people. Do you know what they do? They want to go, have zero problems during the day, and go home to their family and eat a dinner. That's what they want to do. Now, I'm not saying there's not some bad apples in the bushel. Of course there is. There's bad apples everywhere. But you cannot take that barrel of apples and throw it all away because of the bad ones.
Hey, guys, we've only got a couple minutes left in the show, and and Rick did finally text me and said he wanted to pop in real quick. Good evening, Rick. How are you?
I'm all right. How about yourself? Hello. And
all right.
How you doing, Rick?
I'm doing all right. As far as Harrison Ford falling, there is one meme that they left out. It was Han versus the golf course, and Han shot first.
Rick, you've got a show you do on what, Sunday afternoons, is that correct?
Yeah, Sunday afternoons, 4 p.m. Eastern. Music show, had a wonderful time last week paying tribute to Andrew Blackbird. And
nice.
I play anything from 1950 to today. I don't play Bieber. And actually, I will be taking requests this thing if you want to take a listen. EclipseDashRadio.com.
It was really embarrassing. I was up at CPAC last week, and there was some bar I was sitting in. I can't remember even who I was sitting there talking to at the moment. Wow, I really don't remember. And we were all sitting there, and there was some song playing, and the beat, whatever it was pretty cool. I was thinking, I always do this. I'm thinking in the back of my head, that would sound really good as sort of a background for something on the show. And so I was trying to get the waitress's attention. She was on the other side of the bar, the bartender, attention on the other side of the bar, and ask her what that song was. Meanwhile, and you know how they do that, right? You know how DJs, you know, just kind of merge one song into the next, right?
Yeah.
Right.
So by the time I'm sitting there waving her across the bar, and I'm going, what's that song, right? By the time she got over, and then she's kind of like puts her head up real quick, and she cocks her head, and she kind of listens for a second. She goes, oh, it's Justin Bieber. I was like, oh, just shoot me now. Because it wasn't. It wasn't at that point. They just had kind of merged it. So they were 30 seconds into the Justin Bieber. And now I'm sitting here going, a little Miss Hottie on the other side of the bar thinks I'm all like, oh, Justin Bieber.
Justin Bieber, right?
I was just like, I about fell off my bar stool right then. I was like, that's it. I'm going home. It was embarrassing. I mean, I probably turned 17 shades of purple.
Did she have a nice rack?
Yeah.
Oh, for crying out loud.
Did she have a tiny honey?
It's what the glasses were hung on. That's what you're talking about, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Because pictures of that today passed around our group.
I'm so glad.
Oh, it did?
Wine glasses, appropriately.
Absolutely.
I'm on the rack. Yeah. All right, hey, Rick, give us that link. What's the show?
Eclipse-radio.com. Name of the show is The Wave Cave with DJ Wave Rider.
Awesome. Hey, Rick, thanks for calling in tonight, man. Thanks for listening as well. I appreciate that.
Yeah, no problem.
Thanks a lot, Rick.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
To you later. All right, guys, we're going to get ready to wrap up here and cut everybody loose. What, let's see, who do we have on here? Bona Fortuna. Where can folks find you on the interwebs?
It's B-O-N-A-H, the number 4, T-U-N-A. Bona Fortuna.
Fortuna.
Bona.
You could just find me hanging around with these guys in our...
No pun intended.
In our threads.
Oh, and for Stan, he's wicked pissa.
There you go. Got to get that out there tonight.
Absolutely.
At some point or another, we're trying to convince Bona to do a show. I think it's going to have to be Saturday night, like after midnight.
Why would that be? Do you think I'm controversial or I?
No.
Oh no, not at all.
Oh no.
No.
You got to remember your audience on the West Coast. It would only be like 9 o'clock or 8 o'clock
yeah.
there.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect.
I want them to at least get back from the bar.
That would be my perfect people.
I'm pretty sure at this point, since Greg Gutfeld is leaving Red Eye, that we need to step in and take his place. We got to do a radio Red Eye.
I actually saw that Lauren Saban actually just tweeted out that she is being considered. I'd love to see that.
Is she always going to be in that one chair, though, that's on the right-hand side?
Oh, the legs chair you're talking about.
Yeah.
Phenomenal,
yeah.
Phenomenal production of the legs
mm-hmm.
chair.
Yeah. Now, Fox is good at that. There's no doubt about
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. They know how to sell a show.
Yeah. Even outnumbered during the day, I think they're like, okay, there's four of you women. So you guys all line up, and they do like a legs compare, and then it's like, all right, you two are sitting with, 90 degrees to the camera.
Absolutely. Well, they have probably the hottest eight legs on TV.
Yeah.
During the
day. If we could do
Absolutely.
That on radio, man.
I guess we could, right? Just get a cam in.
Yeah. Hey, yeah, Di, next time you do the red wine, you and Jody and Laura, I'll take pictures of your legs, and that's the pictures that we're going to put on there that cycle through during your show.
Okay, and then you guys take pictures of your six packs and not beer.
Really?
Yeah, I will.
And your loincloth.
Because
we'll be
there
even.
There is one in the refrigerator right now. I will pull it out and take a picture of it.
I'm sorry, I got a cake. As I tell my wife, I put on your pregnancy weight and never took it off.
Wow, that's great. All right. We're on the interwebs.
Okay.
Where can they find you on the internet, Di?
I couldn't hear you. They can find me at DMB1031 and also at The Red Wine.
Mm-hmm.
We all respond to that.
Yes. And they are on Wednesday night, folks. We're 9 p.m. right here
9
on Alt-Con Radio.
And we're now on every week.
Every
Wednesday, 9 o'clock.
I am Steve Hamilton, E2 Pilot on Twitter. Stevie J. West is at Stevie J. West. Catch us at Alt-Con Radio, gettinghammeredradio.com. Pick up her stuff at stevie.com. Thanks a lot for joining us this evening, folks. And we are out of here.
Good night.